Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 45. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Naradaha Praha Munaye Sarasvatyaha Tate Nripa Dhyayate Brahma Paramam Vyasaya Amita Tejase Narada Praha Munaye Sarasvat Dhyas tarte nripa Dhyayate Brahma Paramam Vyasayamita Tejase Narada Praha Munaye Sarasvat Dhyas tarte nripa Dhyayate Brahma Paramam Vyasayamita Tejase. Ladies, please. Narada, the great sage Narada, Praha, instructed, Munaye, unto the great sage, Sarasvatyaha, of the river Sarasvati, Tirthe, on the bank. Nripa, O King. Dhyayate, unto the meditative. Brahma, absolute truth. Param, paramam, more than param, the supreme. Vyasaya, unto Srila Vyasadev. Amita, unlimited. Tejase, unto the powerful. In succession, O King, the great sage Narada instructed Srimad Bhagavatam unto the unlimitedly powerful Vyasadeva, who meditated in devotional service upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, on the bank of the river Sarasvati. Purport. In the fifth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada instructed the great sage Vyasadeva as follows. Ato mahabhaga bhavana moghadrik shuchi shrava satya rato drita vrataha urukramasya kila bandha mukteye samadhinanu smara tad vicheshtitam. O greatly fortunate, pious philosopher, your name and fame are universal, and you are fixed in the Absolute Truth with spotless character and infallible vision. I ask you to meditate upon the activities of the Personality of Godhead, whose activities are unparalleled. So in the disciplic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya, the practice of yoga meditation is not neglected. But because the devotees are bhakti yogis, they do not undertake the trouble to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman. As indicated here, they meditate on Brahma Paramam, or the Supreme Brahman. Brahman realization begins from the impersonal effulgence. Actually, I want to speak on the previous verse. Okay, I'll read that. Specific to the subject of heavy initiation today. All right, I'll read the previous verse. Excuse me. Tasma idam bhagavatam puranam dashalakshanam proktam bhagavata praha prita putraya bhutakrit. Thereupon, the supplementary Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which was described by the Personality of Godhead and which contains 10 characteristics, was told with satisfaction by the father, Brahma, to his son, Narada. Purport. Although the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in 4 verses, it had 10 characteristics, which will be explained in the next chapter. In the 4 verses, it is first said that the Lord existed before the creation, and thus the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam includes the Vedanta aphorism, Janmadhyasya. Janmadhyasya is the beginning, yet the 4 verses in which it is said that the Lord is the root of everything that be, beginning from the creation up to the supreme abode of the Lord, naturally explains the 10 characteristics. One should not misunderstand by wrong interpretations that the Lord spoke only 4 verses and that therefore all the rest of the 17,994 verses are useless. All right, it says 17,994. It should be 96. Although actually, if you count the verses of the Bhagavatam, it's not exactly 18,000. Just like if you count the verses of the Gita, it's not exactly 700. Anyway, I'll make a note of that. Approximately. Just like we have in South India, so many temples with 1,000 pillars. And most of them don't have 1,000. I don't know if any of them have 1,000 pillars. Exactly. The 10 characteristics, as will be explained in the next chapter, require so many verses just to explain them properly. Brahmaji had also advised Narad previously that he should expand the idea he had heard from Brahmaji. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed this to Srila Rupa Goswami in a nutshell. But the disciple, Rupa Goswami, expanded this very elaborately, and the same subject was further expanded by Jiva Goswami, and even further by Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We are just trying to follow in the footsteps of all these authorities. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not like ordinary fiction or mundane literature. It is unlimited in strength, and however one may expand it according to one's own ability, Bhagavatam still cannot be finished by such expansion. Srimad Bhagavatam, being the sound representation of the Lord, is simultaneously explained in 4 verses and in 4 billion verses all the same, inasmuch as the Lord is smaller than the atom and bigger than the unlimited sky. Such is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Srishtam Manumapi Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prabto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Atav Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vidamstra Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan Tina Smarani Hoi Bigna Binashan Anayashi Hoi Nijavanchita Puran Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Before speaking on this subject of Bhagavatam, this chapter is titled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. That means we'll get answers. How will we get answers? Kim tad brahma kim adhyatma. Gita is full of questions from Arjuna. Beginning with King Tad Brahma, what is Brahma? That's the most important question which Srila Prabhupada alludes to here in his purport. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of Brahma. What's it all about? What is spiritual? What is the meaning of all this? And Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, starts to give the answer. Or in a nutshell, gives the answer. Janmadhyasya yaton vyad itarashchet, and on. And the whole Bhagavatam is explaining that the source of everything, the sustenance of everything, the destruction of everything, is Bhagavan Vasudeva, who is explained throughout the Bhagavatam. And especially in the 10th canto. Well, in the first canto, it's established that he is the Supreme Personality. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original form, although all the forms are eternal. Contradiction there, never mind, you'll get used to it once you start going through Bhagavatam, because it's achintya, it's not within our scope. We can't put it all into our head. We think we can wrap God up into a box and send him off by Amazon, but you can't do that. You can't order him. I'll order one god and 3 demigods and a few apsaras, and you can't do that. So the whole matter has to be understood from Shastra, and actually it's good we went into the next verse, because there's a Vyasadeva, Bhagavan Badarayanaha. He is the personality of Godhead for the particular purpose of explaining Veda, Shastra. Veda means knowledge. But this knowledge cannot be received exactly just through a book. Although we emphasize so much on book distribution. But we see, just to demonstrate the point, that even Vyas himself appeared to be bewildered. Narad had to come and instruct him. And Narad himself at one point appeared bewildered, and Brahma instructed him. And Brahma at one point appeared bewildered, and Vishnu himself instructed him. So Vishnu is Adi Guru. There's no guru of him until we get to... Well, there is, we get to the 10th canto, and then he has his gurus, Sandipani Muni, and he has his Guru Jan, the elders, Nanda, Yashoda, and others. That's in Leela. Otherwise, he is the Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. We offer our respects to Krishna, who is the guru of the whole universe. The Bhagavatam was spoken in four verses by Vishnu Krishna to Brahma, and later that was expanded. Now Narada is expanding the topics. He will expand the topics to Vyasadeva, and he expounded to his disciples, and the topics go on expanding. Srila Prabhupada speaks here about 4 billion verses of the Bhagavatam on the higher planets, where the duration of life and the intelligence is much more. We find the Shastras in much expanded form. One reason the Bhagavatam is so important for Kali Yuga is that so much Shastra is lost. And also the ability to understand all the subtleties is lost. So Bhagavatam is authoritative. But that has to be, the topics have to be expanded upon. Because even though our own Srila Prabhupada has taken all the topics of the Bhagavatam with their explanations and put them in easy English to understand, but still there are so many points. Even if we superficially understand, or even if we properly understand, there's so much more to be understood, because it's unlimited. We often have the experience of reading something in Srila Prabhupada's book, or we hear it explained by Srila Prabhupada in one of those recordings or by one of his followers, and new insights, new lights arise. It's Krishna, he's unlimited. And there's always more to realize about him, but it's essential to hear about it properly. One should not misunderstand by wrong interpretation, Srila Prabhupada writes here. We have answers by citing the Lord's version. If we have to speak in spiritual circles, we have to quote from Shastra. And practically for us, here in the Western world or anywhere, Shastra for us means Srila Prabhupada's books. Now that doesn't mean that we throw out all the other Shastras. That is a wrong understanding. But we see through the lens that Srila Prabhupada has given us throughout his books. And we see that in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is stating how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami expanded the topics. Then again, Jiva Goswami expanded the topics. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur expanded the topics. And Srila Prabhupada writes, we are just trying to follow in the footsteps of all these authorities. Now, if we think of this Gaudiya Sampradaya in the very early stages, in the very beginning, in Bengal especially, the teachings of the Goswamis weren't known. It was coming down through, largely unknown. It was coming down through various preachers, Nityananda Prabhu especially and his followers. And then later the writings of the Goswamis came. Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda, Narottam were sent to give the teachings of the Goswamis who had been ordered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to, especially Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had been ordered to take the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally instructed them, and on his order they wrote so many books, and others also wrote books, and Jiva Goswami gave the overarching philosophical understanding of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that Srinivas and Narottam in Bengal, especially Srinivas Acharya in the western side of Bengal and Narottam in the eastern side of Bengal, taught these. They taught these books to the disciples. Now we think of books. How many Bhagavatam sets to distribute today? But in those days it wasn't so easy, because the Bhagavatam sets means you have to write it. But even then, there weren't commentaries. The commentaries came gradually. Sridhar Swami's commentary was there from back in the past. And other commentaries, Madhvacharya, his commentary was there. But they weren't known in Bengal. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he especially explained this. But prior to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, so many points were not elucidated upon to the extent that we have them now. And there were controversies over whether we should accept Krishna to be the lover of the gopis in a marital relationship or non-marital relationship, and that was defining in the history of our sampradaya. And it goes on. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also wrote commentary on the Bhagavatam, only some portions, and Srila Prabhupada took on the huge task of commenting on every verse of the Bhagavatam in English. He skipped a few. Huge, huge task. That's a lifetime's work. And at the same time, he was planning to go to the West, which he did do. So if he'd only done preaching in the West, that would have been monumental, epoch-making. And if he'd only commented on the Bhagavatam, that would also have been, to the extent that he did, in English, that would also be monumental and epoch-making. What to speak of having it distributed widely all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada says, we're just trying to follow in the footsteps of all these authorities, he writes here. And he gave that process. It's the same process. Tadera charana sevi bhakta shanevash janame janame hoy eya bilash. The same process that Narottam Das speaks of and everywhere speaks of. The serving the lotus feet of the Goswamis and all the devotees, living among devotees. This is our desire. Birth after birth. But practically for us, Srila Prabhupada is the authority on how we practice Krishna consciousness. There are other authorities. We're not like the Christians who say, well, especially the Protestants, they say there's only Jesus and the Bible and me. The Catholic branch of Christianity, we find more people coming to Krishna consciousness from a Catholic background, probably because they have respect for the church and for saints. It's not just me and God, and there's no one in between. But there are other authorities also. And saints means also, to make that analogy further, we have previous acharyas who we look to, as Srila Prabhupada did. We're just trying to follow in the footsteps of all these authorities. These Ritvik people, they say, was just Srila Prabhupada, and as if he popped out of somewhere. No one before him and no one after him. But he himself, again and again and again, emphasized that he is the carrier of a tradition. That he is, from the very beginning, he spoke on Shastra to people who had no idea what Shastra is or what the importance is. And he would quote the Sanskrit verses to establish the point that he is not speaking something from his own mind. It's not made up by him. But the basis is Shastra, and he has the whole tradition behind him. It's natural that different disciples of any guru will take the teachings of their guru, and as they're supposed to teach others. But it's natural that some may emphasize some areas more than others, because everyone's an individual. Someone may emphasize deity worship more. Someone may emphasize book distribution more. We see Rasika Ananda, the foremost disciple of Shyamananda Pandit. He did many festivals, that was very much elaborate festivals, that was very much part of his preaching. So it's natural that everyone, or it's not surprising if everyone emphasized different things. They all have different approaches in their teaching, and especially in Srila Prabhupada's teaching, we can see there are different phases of that, how he preached in the Western world. That's been analyzed by Satsarup Das Goswami, his principal biographer, and even by academic scholars. They emphasize how in the beginning Srila Prabhupada was extraordinarily accommodating. He himself said, I am 80% lenient. When he first had deity worship, which was Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, with no dress, no proper altar, and just everyone would, they'd have a plate with a candle on it, and they'd take turns in going like this. And they'd offer the food without any special mantras or anything. And Prabhupada said, if I told you everything, you'd faint. But he did, and he did start introducing it, especially in Los Angeles. I believe that was starting from La Cienega Boulevard, but shortly after that, when the present temple in Watsika Avenue was bought, then Srila Prabhupada, he stayed there for some time, and he called all the town presidents, come and spend time. Now I'm setting the standard, and this is what we want it to be. And gradually, he Well, especially, although he'd spoken of Varnashram Dharma previously, even before coming to the West, he began to emphasize it more and more, seeing that his disciples, many of them, seemed to be not able to follow the principles that they vowed to take. So he emphasized this Varnashram Dharma more and more. So among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we see that difference among them. They emphasize Srila Prabhupada. They have their vision of how Srila Prabhupada taught. And some like to emphasize more the very early days when he was very liberal. He'd give initiation practically to anyone who walked in, although within a short time, within a few months of doing that, that in San Francisco especially, within a few months of doing that, he started telling the leaders there that we should become more strict. And in the beginning, the long hair, beards, Umapati was one of the first in New York. He came to his initiation, he described, with long hair was just normal, and a scraggly beard, and his old jeans, which he'd cut down to make into shorts. That's how he came to his initiation. But later, Srila Prabhupada was much more strict. And even once he was giving initiation in Detroit, and he asked why some of the male initiates didn't have their head shaved. When he was told that they were householders or working at outside jobs, okay. Because there weren't that many in those days, householders working outside jobs. Well, my understanding is that Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to, well, it's not just my understanding, it's plain as day, that he wanted to introduce Varnashram Dharma more and more. So my approach in trying to follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada is to emphasize a more strict approach rather than a more liberal approach. And even though Srila Prabhupada, he was very open and accepted everyone in the beginning, but then the devotees who came in the beginning and stayed, once he started making more rules, he expected them to follow also, and some of them never really made the adjustment between the happy-go-lucky style and the more rigid style that Srila Prabhupada wanted of rising early, chanting 16 rounds. Well, he'd said that from the beginning, but he wasn't so much interested. And then having the morning program, all these things. Some of the early disciples, they never really got into it. For them, Krishna consciousness was doing big things with the Swami, and it was all fun. But these things are required if we are to remain in Krishna consciousness and go up. It becomes more difficult to remain in Krishna consciousness the less we practice it. It's something like the saying, work doesn't get done by not doing it. That's something I remind myself regularly. If you put it off, it doesn't get done. You may say, I'll do it later, but it doesn't get done by not doing it. Work gets done by doing it. So in the same way with practicing Krishna consciousness, we actually have to do it. We often think the mercy is pouring down. The mercy comes in the form of instructions. That is how the guru gives instructions. That's his mercy. Otherwise, we come to the Ramakrishna Vivekananda kind of thing, which Srila Prabhupada mentioned in early in a Bhagavatam purport, without mentioning their names, that the bogus guru touches the disciple who feels an electric shock and goes unconscious. And after some time, he wakes up and sees the guru and says, sees the guru crying and asks, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I just gave everything I had to you." It's bogus. The guru instructs, and by instructing, he himself becomes more knowledgeable. The whole thing is not about knowledge, but his own appreciation of Krishna increases. So this idea, shakti pat, that's called. You just throw some shakti. You invest someone with some energy. Now that is there. We see also that it's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Rupa Goswami to explain the mellows of Vrindavan. So that is there, but he instructed him also. So instruction is there, and the mercy is there, and those who take it get the mercy. So there are different approaches in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada is said to have said, although some doubt it, that 50% of my work is not done by introducing Varnashram Dharma. Although Bhakti Charaswami writes in his memoir that he heard Srila Prabhupada say that. And Abhiram Prabhu was there when he said it. But even if he didn't say it, he emphasized it so much in his last few years. It seems like a huge task, doesn't it? If you say 50% of Srila Prabhupada's work, who could have done what Srila Prabhupada did and brought the chanting of the holy name and Bhagavatam to the Western world? Actually, if you came now and started, it would be a lot easier than if you came in 1965, because the reincarnation and Indian spiritualism, it's somewhat known and somewhat accepted. And people are purified by years and years of chanting. And so many people have got Srila Prabhupada's books, but Srila Prabhupada just came into an atmosphere where nothing, people knew nothing. And I often give the example that when Hayagriva and others, they brought a picture which they brought back from India, a print of Hanuman, and they showed it to Srila Prabhupada, and they asked, "What is it? Is it a cat?" Everyone in India, even the Christians and the Muslims, they know who Hanuman is, but they had so little idea, no idea whatsoever. So to introduce Varnashram Dharma it seems impossible, but it should be done because it's the order of our guru, and we have to combinedly do that. Of course, we have to begin with having devotees. So then, preaching, bringing people in, training them. It's a great mission. And Srila Prabhupada, not only did he wanted to introduce Varnashram Dharma, but he wanted to take over the world with Krishna consciousness. That's a big job. That's a very big job. It's not anything we can do individually. Combinedly, we could do it. But take over the world means also the whole structure of society needs to be reorganized. The present structure of society is excellent for keeping people in ignorance and dispatching them to hell. So a whole new vision is required. So it's a great job. And from my side, I'm trying to promote that. And although Srila Prabhupada in the early days, especially in 1967 in San Francisco, he was very liberal in his approach, but I'm stressing more the strictness, which he wrote about again and again in his letters to new initiates, to temple presidents and GBC members. Rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds, four regulative principles. The basics for a spiritual life are required. And if we don't follow them, then we become weak. If we do follow them, it helps us to remain strong. And it's very hard to become strong without following that, because being strong, what do you do when you're strong in Krishna consciousness? What's the symptom? Well, you like to rise early, chant your... It's not that these things are just for complete neophytes, and when you're more advanced, you become a gopi. Well, you do become a gopi, if that's what you're aiming at, but you don't... It's not something to be advertised among the public. But externally and internally, externally, the activities of a highly advanced devotee may not be that different from those of a beginner, because the whole program that Srila Prabhupada gave us, based on the program given by the previous acharyas, given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is based on hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving him. So I'm emphasizing this stricter side, and it may be difficult for some to relate to or to accept all the things we're doing here. Especially, one of the noticeable things. The book distribution is definitely noticeable. The enthusiasm of the devotees in kirtan and service—that's noticeable. And another thing, which has not failed to escape the notice of many, is that we're strict in the interaction of males and females. That's required if we're going to keep a very focused mood. That's also a pillar of Vedic culture. And those who participate in it can understand it. Generally, we find devotees from India can relate to this very easily, and often devotees from the West, they have a hard time relating to it. I often gave the example from my own life, being raised in a Roman Catholic tradition, that in the church on Sundays, the men would be on one side and the women on the other, and the women would cover their heads, and the men weren't allowed to cover their heads. And no one was saying that you had to do it, but it was just done automatically. And why? I don't think anyone even explained it or thought it. It was just understood. And after the mass, the men would come out and socialize, and the women would go home and cook. And I won't tell you what they cooked. It was Sunday special. And the men, after socializing a bit outside the church, would go over the road to the pub and then go home for their unmentionable Sunday special food. But anyway, even the mlechas, but they're going to the church, and that understanding was there, and especially among the Catholics, there was no divorce. It was just, you get married, that's it, finished. Like it or not like it, you have to like it. As one of my uncles said to me once, my Irish uncles, in this regard, well, you have to accept your lot. I think he didn't like his wife much. But he was very happy, and she was very happy. But they didn't. I never saw them fight or anything. But they didn't seem to relate that much to each other. But anyway, she's my wife. He's my husband, and life goes on. But we do have a major problem in the Western world, and that horrible influence is increasingly becoming strong in the land of Dharma in India also, that marriage is just something, yeah, you go into it and then try it out. If you don't like it, then let it go and try again. And you can keep on trying till you're 70 or 80 and keep on trying. It's not good for Krishna consciousness, and we can't set up an example for the world if our devotees can't live even peacefully as husband and wife. So I'm trying to be strict on these things, and being strict in it doesn't guarantee that those who come through this are not going to have severe marital problems later on. But we have to try, and not everyone will understand or appreciate that, but this is the way it is here. So if there are things about it you don't like, please be generous upon us, that we're not trying to simply be fanatics or exploit anyone, but we're doing it in good faith with a desire to follow Srila Prabhupada as we understand within our scope and capacity. And if others are not particularly happy with this, well, there are plenty of centers of ISKCON where there's a lot more free interaction and more, you could say, liberal approach. And you can go. Of course, we can't force anyone to come and stay here. It's all voluntary. So this is what we're trying to do. And we pray for the blessings and the understanding and the patience of those devotees who may not be very pleased with everything we're doing. But we're interested in pleasing Srila Prabhupada, because that is all we have to do. If we don't do that, then there's no meaning to anything we do. And if we do that, then we get Krishna's mercy. And others may be pleasing Srila Prabhupada by taking a different approach. So we offer our respects to them, but here we're trying to do it like this. So those who are being initiated today, they're being initiated into the approach to Krishna consciousness, which I am expounding. There are different initiators in the line of Srila Prabhupada, and those who are coming, they know what I stand for. They're voluntarily coming. So please stick to your vows very carefully and seriously. Most of you are young. Life is full of challenges, as you will find out more and more. Stick to the lotus feet of Krishna. Tandera charana sevi bhakti sonebas. Janamai janame hoy e abhilash, means stick with the association of devotees. Can be difficult. We expect devotees to be like swans and very beautiful in everything they do. Unfortunately, our experience isn't always like that. And I know myself, I've in various ways and at various times, if not all the time, acted in ways and done things which is not appreciated by all devotees. So I beg forgiveness for that. And we we'll go on and try not to make offenses, try to protect ourselves against that. But at the same time, we have to follow as carefully as we can without being fanatical. There are two extremes. One is not following carefully, and the other is just following so rigidly that you lose sight of the whole goal. The following itself becomes the goal rather than the goal becoming the goal. So the ultimate goal is love of Krishna and spreading love of Krishna. We find ourselves not in that position of love of Krishna, yet still charged with the task, the responsibility to pass it on to others. So that is the great task. And child is the father of man. Those who are initiated today, at some point they'll also be initiating others. At least some of them will be doing. We hope, as Srila Prabhupada hoped, that, well, he actually said, I want all my disciples should be gurus. So everyone has to be a guru. Initiate or not initiate, one has to become responsible, especially as they become older. The children are looked after by the parents, and as one becomes older, they also have to look after the younger ones. When a child is a child, they can't imagine being a father, but they become a father. And then they have to act like a father. They have to train their children. So take your training very seriously. And serious doesn't mean a big, long, serious face all the time, but seriously practicing helps us to be protected from Maya and helps us to come closer to Krishna, because the two things don't mix: material enjoyment and love of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments, please? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. We all know that Prabhupada very much wanted Varnashram instituted. It's just a little bewildering to me. How do we get there from here?
How do we get there from here? It's bewildering. Yeah. But we have to make a start. He gave some guidelines. There should be farm communities, was a major part of instituting that. So we have to do that. That's a start. There's a lot to do, and in preaching on all fronts. As Druta Karma Prabhu was saying yesterday, we have to establish in society the idea that, or the understanding that consciousness is the root of everything, not matter is the root of everything. And that entails a completely different approach to life. So preaching has to be a practical institution. Make farms, bring devotees together. Growing food is not the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing is bringing devotees together to cooperate and keep fixed on the goal, because it's austere compared to city life, especially the kind of simple living that Srila Prabhupada wanted. Farming in America is another occupation. It's very different to city occupation, but basically it's all done with... It's not a very austere life, as if you do with... in a traditional way. So there, and if you don't have electricity, which is very helpful for Krishna consciousness, because then it helps everyone to take rest early, get up early, and not have so many... No, actually, on our farms, the phones and everything, not allowed. Computers, not allowed. We do have one office for communicating with the world at the edge of the project. Otherwise, not allowed. Great. So you don't have to think of anything except Nama Shri Kori Jato Nitumi Tako Apana Kaje. Take shelter of the holy name and do your work. And that's all you have to think of. And there are some austerities. Gets very hot. Gets in India in the summer. And the most difficult season is now. The rainy season has begun in India. It's the most difficult season. Not the hot season, the rainy season. But devotees, they get used to it. As they live, as their previously people lived like that for thousands of years. People say, oh, how can you live without electric fans? They don't know. When I first came to in the 1970s, most people had never seen or heard of an electric fan. Most people had never even seen an electric wire. In the villages where the vast population lived, there was no electricity. It was only in the cities. And even that, most of the time, it was off, especially in Calcutta. Even in Delhi, you go in the streets at night, and most of them are completely black. No street lights, nothing. So you can get used to it. It is, simple living is actually very conducive for spiritual practices.
You're saying I would think the rainy season, you said, is the most difficult. Can you say more about that? Because I thought the heat...
The heat is difficult, but anyway, it's... You can go and find out if you like. But now India is all modernized. So there's rain and mud and diseases and nothing. The clothes never dry. It's hot 1 minute and then it's colder because it's sunshine. All of a sudden it's pouring with rain and the temperature always changes. You can't dry any clothes. You get heat rash. And all kinds of diseases, and it's hard to go anywhere because everything's all bogged down in mud. Especially for diseases.
Guru Maharaj, where does this...
It's very humid. Humidity is worse than heat. Hot heat and humidity.
Where does this prevalent idea of mercy being something like some electric energy...
Where does the prevalent idea come of mercy being like...
So some, widespread.
It's very strong there in Christianity. In Protestant Christianity, you just believe in Jesus and that's it. Then you can do any damn thing you like and you believe in Jesus and he'll save you. It's also there, it's a cheap cop-out. We hear all the Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Guru's mercy is everything. So the idea is there, you just get initiation and then that's it. People always want something cheap. I don't know if there's any Vedantic school which promotes that there's only mercy, because they all promote that. Gita teachings, you have to control the senses, you have to do sadhana. Okay, I'll take one more question. You have to do sadhana. We have to follow. If we're going to be disciples, we should see what's to be followed. Just like not having beards. It's not... Srila Prabhupada didn't come to the West. Well, once this was being discussed and it was said that Srila Prabhupada, he said, I've come to the West to save you. But Srila Prabhupada's pronunciation, they couldn't understand what he said, to shave you. So both things go together. But it is widespread in ISKCON today that you're not a real, genuine, 100% devotee unless you have a beard. But we find in Srila Prabhupada, well, it's not said like that, but it's the fashion seems to be like that. But it's very clear from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, absolutely clear, that he didn't want his followers to... He says right there that followers of Lord Chaitanya consider long hair, and this is in the context of Sanatana Goswami, they consider it objectionable. So, I don't know why, when it's so clear that devotees still keep beards. What do they think? That we don't have to follow Srila Prabhupada? Or maybe no one told them? There are ideas going around, very dangerous ideas. So we were told just a few days ago that one ISKCON guru is saying that, well, it may not happen, but the next generation can institute it, that we should have full acceptance of homosexuality. And someone else is preaching, you don't have to be fully Krishna conscious to go back to Godhead. You can be 85%, 65%, 45%. Again, this idea of mercy. So there's another reason we want to be a little, a little distinct. So, Adhikata Prabhu, are you going to say something? Were you? No, who else? Who did the mic go to? Oh, okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. With regard to Varnashrama, which you were explaining...
When we say the word Varnashram, so many questions will come. It's like talking about quantum theory or something. It's that we heard the words, but what on earth is it? We have to try and institute it. I've given many talks on this, but talk, and eventually we have to do something. So you go and see, next time you go to India, you go and see some of our communities. Talk to the devotees there. See what we're trying to do. Otherwise it becomes very difficult for devotees to understand why we're like this. We just try and see how. Here in this is a preaching situation where preaching means we're interacting a lot with the outside world and with devotees who are coming from that world. But in the farm communities, it's devotees who are basically staying there, doing their daily work, and they come together two or three times a day, depending in the community. In one place they have morning program, evening program, and midday program. So they come together, because that's the idea, is that the farms, they're meant for living together, for practicing Krishna consciousness. So you can see that we definitely don't have all the answers about how it will develop, but we're making a start. And we're praying to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and studying the old culture and studying various shastras which describe this, and praying for the good sense and the mercy to implement this. Yeah, so what are you going to ask?
Maharaj, so my question was, since the Varnashram system has all the Varnas, which is, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, so in the system that, I mean, my understanding right now is that we have farm communities which is completely disconnected from the outside world. But if we eventually want, say, Kshatriyas and, you know, Vaishyas...
Yeah, Kshatriya is the big question, when the whole governmental system is different. Yeah, it's a big question. Like I said, we don't have all the answers, but we're Srila Prabhupada said that first we should create a class of brahmanas. And from that everything else will come. And my understanding of this is that in the temples there should be brahmanas, real brahmanas, who are the priests and the teachers and the cooks, and setting a very good standard. And others may not. I'm talking about in terms of, okay, you can live outside the temple and be a devotee and a great devotee, but the standard or the ideal should be set by the temple devotees so that others can look up to that and take inspiration from that. But then not everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness has that inclination or to become deeply studious and very clean and austere. So they can go to the farm, and they can, of course the farms are austere in another way, but they can work according to their, that's maybe another reason why devotees find difficulty in remaining in Krishna consciousness. Everyone needs to be engaged according to their psychophysical propensity. So, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I'm here.
Hare Krishna. There's a few announcements.
Hare Krishna. So we will be having a shuttle from here going to the hotel starting at 10 o'clock since checkout is around 11. And there will be shuttles going to and from the hotel from here for about an hour, hour and a half, so devotees can get all of their luggage here. And then for those who are available, there is also going to be a tour of the garden with Avadhuta Chandra Prabhu starting after breakfast.
Recommended.